interview program here at the commentary.ca. Joining me now is Jonathan Ross from TDH Strategies, a public policy and communications firm based out of Vancouver. We'll spend the next few minutes talking with Jonathan about and getting his take on the wide variety of political issues he discusses regularly on his website, tdhstrategies.com. Please welcome once again to Planta on the Line, Jonathan Ross. Good morning, Mr. Ross.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Thanks for joining us. I don't know how to approach this, but you have supported the Liberal Party in the past, have you not?
I've never identified myself as anything but a Liberal supporter. I did take a break from the party in terms of active participation for the last couple of years. I was not the biggest fan of the previous administration, but I have since renewed my membership for 5 years, and I'm back in the fold, I guess you could say.
I want to ask about that, about why and how you became a Liberal, and this sort of separation you had with the party these last couple of years. Was it because of the Martin regime?
First, how I became a Liberal, I've always been, people ask me that question, and I always just say I've always been a moderate. I don't believe that there's anything wrong with taking the best from both sides of the political spectrum and putting it forth for public policy. In regards to my absence, I had some philosophical differences with the Martin administration. You know, everyone's very aware of the Liberal Civil War that has happened, and I guess I was a dissenter. So with the election loss that the Liberals have gone through, and the time for renewal in regards to this party, I just thought it was time for me to get back involved, and I went into the office a couple months back, renewed my membership, and trying to work my way back into the whole system.
One of the things that I came to know you and your website, and I knew you as one of those so-called liberals in exile, people
mm-hmm.
like Warren Kinsella.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you're one of many that are doing the same?
I find that the Liberal Party at this point, there are a lot of people that are streaming back with either purchasing memberships or getting a little more engaged in the debate of where this party is headed. I just think that, you know, when you come through a loss like the Liberal Party went through in January, you start to look at what has happened and realize that, you know, a lot of the Civil War issues and a lot of the different camps that couldn't continue. The only way that this party is going to get back to government is that it's a wide open playing field again, both in terms of leadership candidates and just in terms of participation for your average grassroots member. And I think that I'm at this point optimistic. Obviously, there are some hard feelings out there for these years of me being away and at times being critical of Mr. Martin. But as I've told people, I went into President's Council meeting about a month and a half ago and said, I'm back, and I'm coming back with all of branch extended and the best of intentions, and I hope I'm greeted as such. And so far, you know, with the exception of pockets here or there, it's been a good experience so far.
This leadership race that your party is mired in, first of all, the people who aren't in the race, people like Frank McKenna, Brian Tobin, Alan Rock, John Manley, what do you think that says about the party and where it's headed? Is it time for new blood, and have the time for these people that I've mentioned, has their time passed, do you think?
I don't ascribe to the viewpoint that they didn't enter the race because their time had passed. Frank McKenna, for example, always made this commitment publicly regarding his wife that he would be in public life for a decade, and then he would leave. And so his non-entry wasn't as much a surprise as everyone made it out to be. I do think, you know, Alan Rock, for example, could have made a run if he had wanted to. There's a lot of organization that was left from his leadership bid back in 2002-2003 that could have started up again and been quite coherent. So I do think that each of those individuals that you just mentioned have capital still. But, you know, for whatever reason, some, maybe they didn't think this was their time. Maybe it was for personal reasons. You know, for example, I know that Rock not going in, there was a lot of concern about, you know, when you enter a leadership race, you have to put a lot of your aspects of your life on hold, but both personal and professional. And I know for him it was very much a personal and professional decision, not necessarily to do with his viability in terms of being a winner in this race or anything to do with politics of the party. It had a lot to do with personal and professional reasons. So, you know, I don't think that that's any indication that people weren't attracted to the party. And yeah, it is time for maybe new blood to step up. All these individuals have been a part of the leadership race before and an active participant, and maybe now it was to the viewpoint that we need new bodies and new faces and new ideas to populate the party again.
So suppose some of these, I mean, I'm not a Liberal voter, and I've never been, and I probably never will.
Thanks for your honesty.
but I'm thinking, you know, like Frank McKenna, Brian Tobin, Alan Rock, John Manley, they have the gravitas to one day, or they could one day become Prime Minister.
Sure.
Does their departure from the race seem to signal that this, whoever is the next Liberal leader, it will probably be insignificant because the Harper regime will probably last more than a couple of years?
Well, I think we're talking about two separate issues. On the front that those individuals were the be-all, end-all between getting a leadership candidate, or a group of leadership candidates that had the gravitas, as you say, I don't think that's the case. You know, if you look, we're going to get into this, I'm assuming, later on, but when you look at some of the names that are involved right now, it's not an unimpressive bunch. There's a lot of new faces into this race that are quite impressive in their own standing and have a lot to bring to the table. That's number one. In regards to the Harper administration, his strength and his government strength right now, it's a honeymoon. And yeah, you're right. Things do look very, very. It's going to be possibly a long reign for them. But right now we're early in this administration, so it's not really. You can't extrapolate Harper's strength to a group that, you know, quite frankly, is impressive. There are a lot of faces that, again, people are intrigued by. There's a new excitement in this party that I haven't seen in several years. So,
before we get to the names that have declared and that intend to declare, Belinda Stronach, if she had run, do you think that would have been popular among Liberals?
I don't think so. First of all, there was a lot of rumors about money being thrown around for her organization, and I don't doubt that there was a lot of money put on the table for certain organizers. You know, do I have actual proof of this? No, but I do believe that Reg Alcock was promised a nice sum for his services over the next year organizing for her in Manitoba, and as far as I've heard, they've been quite successful in taking over a lot of the riding associations, or at least going down that path. So I think that she would have been a strong candidate only for the sense that she could have bought a lot of support. But in terms of being a popular choice, I don't think so. Her roots in the party are not there. And I don't think she put anything on the table in terms of a strong policy vision or her ideas about where the party should head that got people excited. I think the only excitement that I heard from people were some individuals that might have been looking to cash in on a gravy train.
Let's go now to the candidates who will run, or that intend to announce that they'll run. Michael Ignatieff, Stéphane Dion, Jared Kennedy, Bob Rae. Ignatieff, let's begin with him. You've been critical of him, and you say for reason. Do you not see him winning the leadership, or?
No, I don't. I'm not going to say that. First of all, I've never been a participant in this party that is going to hold their tongue for the sake of power or jobs or influence. I go into this always trying to express the viewpoints that I think are right, and I base it just on my own personal belief system. So there are certain aspects of Ignatieff's candidacy that I do have some concerns with. On the other hand, there have been some positive signs in recent. I wrote yesterday about an interview that he gave with McLean's magazine, where he really kind of delved into the relationship between politicians and the public, the cynicism that exists out there. He admitted that, and this is one of my biggest concerns, that him identifying himself as an American in the sense that he talked about in his writings, our founding fathers and we, in talking to his American audience, he admitted that was a mistake, and so that was a positive sign. So, I do have some concerns, but I at this point I would venture to say he is most definitely the front runner. His organization out east in Ontario and Quebec and in the Atlantic provinces is very, very strong. He's got a lot of strong individuals backing him at this point. Out here in the West, it's not as advanced at this point, but he's working on it. I know some of the people that he's been talking to, and if he's able to secure some of these people, BC and Alberta and the Western provinces could very much come his way. So I would say he's the front runner at this point. I have some concerns, but an interview has been floated to me and my website as a possibility. They're very aggressive in targeting blogs and making them accessible, making the candidate accessible to these websites, just as they would with mainstream press, which is an interesting tactic, and it's something that's really kind of getting bloggers and people like myself, who are not necessarily working for a big media chain, more interested in covering the man.
We're talking with Jonathan Ross of TDH Strategies. The website for Jonathan's political musings is tdhstrategies.com. Stéphane Dion, you say that Ignatieff is a front runner. Where does Stéphane Dion sort of fall in, as it is now?
Hard to say. He's attracted some, just from a British Columbia perspective, he's attracted some heavyweights from the Martin organization that had a lot of success in winning riding associations and securing delegates for their candidates last time around, although there wasn't too much competition, as we all know. But, there's Dion's candidacy is very interesting to me because I have a lot of respect for the man. I have a lot of respect for the way he approached Quebec and the way he's fought so valiantly for a strong United Canada, and his Federalist letters to Bouchard, so on and so forth. But I've never necessarily seen him as a leader. I do think that, policy is going to be a big part of this race, but you also have to look at, is this candidate, whoever that might be, going to inspire people to vote Liberal, to get involved, to take on Harper and turn their vote back to the Liberal Party. I don't know if Dion has. I do think he's securing some strong organizers around the country, but time is going to tell because it's still early. We haven't seen kind of the returns coming in from these membership drives, which are just starting to ramp up. And so I think Dion's a wild card right now.
You mentioned the sort of the infrastructure of the party. Dion, I've read in other places that Dion possibly has a lot of support in Quebec. Talk to me about BC. Is BC a factor within the Liberal Party in electing a leader? The last leadership race notwithstanding, of course.
Well, you look at it this way. There's 34 ridings in this province.
36, I think.
36 ridings in this province. Each riding association is going to have 12 delegates. You do the math. We're talking about less than half in terms of that resource pool than Quebec, and we're maybe a third of Ontario. BC is important in some senses, but in terms of the numbers game, maybe some candidates will choose that they're not going to emphasize as much on. For Paul Martin, some of the strongest support he had across the country came in this province, British Columbia, and it kind of showed with the results, in spite of the Liberals going down in seats both in 2004 and 2006, obviously losing the election, BC increased. So, BC is a very strong indicator in some senses, but, it's a numbers game, and so that's why when I talk about Ignatieff's organization being very pronounced and strong and up and been running out east and maybe not so advanced here in British Columbia, maybe it's because of that. They're just doing the simple math. And as if you look at it right now, we have a cutoff date in June. So there's not a lot of time to run the national membership drive towards this leadership. We're talking December 2nd, 3rd weekend of for the convention. That means mid to end of June is going to be the cutoff. For memberships. So we're talking 2.5 months. And it's a blip in the grand scheme of things. So I guess candidates right now are going to have to maximize where they can make the greatest impact in terms of those sign-ups before the deadline comes up.
What do you make of Bob Rae and his flirtation with running with for the Liberal leadership?
Well, I kind of mused the other day. I was very shocked. I come from the Chrétien side of the party, and I was very shocked to see a lot of top-level Chrétien people, both that had worked in the PMO and had been direct advisors to Chrétien, and then organizers out here in the West, as well, are flocking to Bob Rae. You know, we all know that John Rae was Chrétien's right-hand man in terms of policy for well over a decade. So there's a strong loyalty there. But this goes not only for Rae but for Bryson, for Stronach. When you're looking at reestablishing a vision, a strong Liberal vision, and giving people, a new face, I don't necessarily think that someone who's either run for a leadership of another party, in the cases of Bryson or Stronach within the last 3-4 years, or been such a prominent member of another party, in the case of Rae, and also, only signed up to be a member of the Liberal Party 2 weeks ago, is going to cut it. I just think that I just find it very surprising from my point of view that there's such interest in Rae, and it'll be very interesting to see if those heavyweights, those Chrétien heavyweights and organizers signing on is going to translate into the grassroots membership of Bob Rae enamoring people to jump on the bandwagon.
Scott Bryson, you mentioned, do you think he'll run?
I do think he'll run. I think that he's definitely been very active across the country in recruiting some key people on the party executive, national executive, and some key organizers from the Martin organization. So I think that it's just a matter of time that he officially announces.
The Toronto Star had a profile of Jared Kennedy a couple weeks ago, I think, and in it they mentioned his trip to Vancouver at meeting supporters here.
Mm-hmm.
What's your sense of his candidacy? Do you think it'll take off, and do you think he has what the Liberal Party's looking for?
He's a very, very intriguing candidate. He's got a lot of things going for him. It doesn't have too much baggage in terms of both politically and macro scale and just in regards to the Liberal Party wars. Has a strong ideological bend that is appealing to a lot of people, that kind of center-left point of view. Successful cabinet minister in the McGuinty administration, so on and so forth. So he's going to be definitely he's going to be a serious candidate. He's signed up some people here in BC and across the country. There seems to be this big buzz with Kennedy. On the other hand, he still has to work on a national profile. There's, for people that are supporting Kennedy, there's still somewhat of an education to make people aware of who he is and where he comes from and what he believes in. And that's why, especially for Gerard, who has now given up his job both as an MPP and as a minister, in the McGuinty government, he's going to have to take full advantage of the time he has to go across the country. Others running in this race, like Bryson and like Volpe and Ignatieff, all have their responsibilities as members of Parliament. And so Kennedy's going to have to make full use of traversing this country and getting people to identify him and find out what he is, who he is, and what he's about.
We could talk for an hour, because there's so many things I wanted to ask. I want to ask you about David Emerson, but we'll have you on again next time. One last person that has flirted with the leadership, and I'm interested to know your thoughts, Hetty Fry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she'll run?
Hetty Fry's candidacy, or rumored candidacy, is that makes me smile. It's kind of a humorous proposition as far as I'm concerned, and it kind of brings the same reaction from a lot of the party membership. I don't know. I mean, she said 85% a couple weeks back in the Vancouver Sun, so who knows? But, you know, the candidacy wouldn't be to win. It would maybe be to try to secure a cabinet spot. I know that for a fact that, you know, Hedy Fry was devastated by being taken out of cabinet after that Prince George crosses our burning comment. And ever since then, it's been an issue. And, you know, she was a strong Martin supporter and half expected to be included in his cabinet when he took over the party, and that, of course, didn't happen. So, you know, her candidacy, if anything, would just be to guarantee some kind of high-profile spot or some kind of cabinet-profile spot within the new administration because, you know, everyone in the Liberal Party is convinced that they're not running to be the leader of the opposition, that they're running to be the next Prime Minister.
Well, Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us again, and we will have you on again because there's so much more that I want to talk to you about. The website is tdhstrategies.com. Jonathan Ross here on the commentary.ca.